You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and when I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com, and finally it's here. Sporting News could finally put draft picks on the board for 2018, the first round of the 2018 NFL drafts in the books. We finally know where a lot of these dynamic, exciting players in the class of 2018 are going to play pro football. We've seen a lot of them star in college football here, but it's good to put these guys with teams officially now going forward and can start to look at the 18 season from the reality and fantasy perspective. So that's what we're going to do here. It's no surprise. It went down Thursday night. We'll come back and look at a deep dive at the full rookie rankings once we know all the picks, and we know that second, third round, even fourth, fifth, sixth round, guys can emerge there to have fantasy relevancy immediately. So we'll look at those in whole, but first we have to talk about what we had in the first round. We'll go pick by pick here on the show. Again, you can follow my analysis on SportingNews.com. Also on Twitter, Vinny Iyer, and Facebook, Vinny Iyer as well. You can find the stories there, and I'm going to put a fantasy spin on everything I've written now for Sporting News. A lot more to come. Second, third round analysis and those rookie rankings. But we start with Baker Mayfield. And this is not as exciting for fantasy right now because Tyrod Taylor is going to be the Browns' starting quarterback in 2018 for all intents and purposes. That's not to say Mayfield won't get a shot. But Hugh Jackson, I think, doesn't want to rush Mayfield into action. This is the upside potential that the Browns could go for because they had Taylor and they had a short-term solution there. So Mayfield is the choice, a little bit of a surprise. But in the end, it's not because they were going to take a quarterback anyway. They just had to determine who was the best upside guy. And we look at the profile of Taylor, big arm, moves around, pretty accurate. Mayfield is a lot more like him now. I think we were looking at Josh Allen as more of a Ben Roethlisberger, Sam Darnold, more of the well-rounded guy. But Mayfield, if you look at it, this profile and what he can do, the upside, the athleticism, the accuracy there for Hugh Jackson, things are looking good. So this could be a very exciting offense here, even in the short term with Taylor. But Mayfield does have the keys to something special here. Josh Gordon was a re-signed. They'll probably look to get him a long-term deal. We know Jarvis Landry's in the mix. David Njoku was a first-round pick last year, tight end. Still have Duke Johnson Jr. probably going to get a deal here. Carlos Hyde was signed. So the Browns are meaning serious business with their offense. And so Mayfield's a guy I'm going to put on the radar for 2018 just because Taylor, we know, has been benched or has had some issues sometimes staying in the lineup for his teams in Buffalo. So Cleveland, Mayfield, a guy that we probably table for this upcoming season, but excited about definitely starting in 2019, most likely. Number two overall, staying with the running back that everyone had going to the Giants, Saquon Barkley. He ends up with the Giants here, and Barkley is easily going to be the best rookie in fantasy football that we're all going to target. Ezekiel Elliott definitely panned out that way a couple years ago for the Cowboys in the same division. Last year, Leonard Fournette did his best job, but had a game where he was benched, was hurt a little bit there, and you had Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt really take over there in later rounds, and someone like that could definitely emerge in here, but Barkley goes to Giants. They upgraded their offensive line with Nate Solder. They needed a back here. They had tried Paul Perkins and the mess of Shane Vereen and Orleans Darkwa. Vereen and Darkwa are not back here, so it was just Perkins there and Wayne Gallman. Barkley is going to take over this backfield right away. They've been tired of these guys, these scrubs, who can only do one aspect right. Barkley can do everything there. He's going to get every chance to be a three-down back, and Giants running game should be improved again with Solder in there. They changed a few things around on their offensive line, losing Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg. But overall, this Giants team is headed upward in the running game. Now, number three, Sam Darnold has a chance, a lot better chance to start right away than Mayfield as he goes to the Jets at number three instead of the Browns at number one. Darnold is competing with Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. Now, when I look at this offense for the Jets, still a lot of things that need to be sorted out. Quincy Nunua coming back from a big injury. Robbie Anderson had a bit of an off-field issue, but had a nice connection there with Josh McCown. So we don't know who Darnold's going to connect with. We think they'll look at a wide receiver, tight end later in this draft, maybe at a running back. So things are going to change around Darnold, and it's no guarantee. With Bridgewater also in the mix here, that he could steal this job. McCown, older guy, but they brought him back for a reason. They like him. The coaching staff trusts him, even in a slightly different offense. But so that's going to be the key here. Jeremy Bates takes over from John Morton. Bates' coaching style probably fits Darnold better than Bridgewater or McCown and what they can do. So Darnold's a guy I'm going to watch. Not a guy I'm too interested in. The Jets passing game, we know, flashed at time and McCown was very useful, but that was in a different air raid type offense with just chucking it downfield, and you saw that Jermaine Kearse and Robbie Anderson explode from a few games just because the Jets were airing it out. I think they'll try to get a little bit more conservative, run the ball. If it's a rookie quarterback, they'll protect things. So I don't see Darnold stepping in there and being a gun for hire in fantasy. Number four, the Browns went defense there with Denzel Ward, the corner from Ohio State. This defense is starting to be noticeable in fantasy. Yeah, they didn't get Bradley Chubb there to complement Myles Garrett, but they still have Myles Garrett. They lost Danny Shelton, moved him there to the Patriots. But overall, a lot of playmakers on this defense. I think it's still a work in progress in terms of where you're going to trust in fantasy, especially in the AFC North, where you still have the Steelers and the Bengals and Ravens, still three pretty good teams. At times can have their way offensively with the Browns, but things are getting better looking up for the Browns. Defensively, when you look at Ward and TJ Carey, Jamar Taylor, some guys that can make some plays in the back end, and that's what you're looking for in fantasy in the end is those sacks and takeaways. Garrett putting some pressure, can take some turnovers, and Ward is built to do that. Speaking of pass, Russ Chubb ends up to the Broncos. This is great for Von Miller, for an IDP player. Von Miller needed a boost there on the other side to really help him rush the passer. Chubb could be effective as well wherever he lines up, defensive end, outside linebacker, doesn't matter. They'll move him around in the scheme, be effective. He could be part Joey Bosa, part Miller for this defensive front for the Broncos. So it should be a very productive pick there for the Broncos. Again, Chubb individually doesn't have much value yet, but he helps Miller, helps his Broncos defense stay on the radar of some unit that we were going to look at in fantasy from week to week. Number six, this is good for the offense of the Colts. Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. This was not a surprise. Everyone had targeted Nelson. They needed help on the interior line. Brought back Jack Muart, have Anthony Costanzo and Ryan Kelly there, but they needed a guard. Great run blocker. They can put in a left guard here for Andrew Luck. Can protect Andrew Luck as well. So great pickup for Nelson. Good scheme fit and a big boon for Luck. And whoever they get at running back, expect them to draft running back here with the options being Marlon Mack and Josh Ferguson. A running back is going to be in the draft. So we're going to watch that with the great interest going forward. Number seven, this was the head scratcher. The Bills go after Josh Allen. Now, he's a project quarterback, yet they paid A.J. McCarron backup money. And right now, you're looking at this receiving corps. Zay Jones is the best option. No more Jordan Matthews. No more Deontay Thompson. Still need to get some more help at receiver. Charles Clay is still around, but man, it's ugly, ugly in terms of what you want to trust in this offense. LeSean McCoy is still around, someone you can look at, but he's getting older and doesn't have the same running game support. So things to watch out there for sure in Buffalo, but McCarron, Allen, I'm just not interested in this situation, at least in 2018, just not appealing at all, especially with the limited upside of the Bills' passing game. We go to our next pick. It was number 8 to the Bears. Roquan Smith of Georgia. Bears are a team to watch defensively. Up and coming with Vic Fangio there. They kept their secondary intact. They're Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller. They look more dynamic. Smith can stuff the stat sheet, of course, and good tackler. So he's someone you're going to watch in IDP being productive right away as well. So Bears, keeping an eye on. It's hard to completely trust them. They're a division with Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers and now Kirk Cousins. So that's hard to trust, but it's a streaming defense that you can definitely look for with Fangio there and matchup based. And there are some favorable matchups along the way for the Bears, but some team we're totally not going to ignore in fantasy defensively in 2018. The number 9 pick was Mike McGlinchey. A little bit of surprise that McGlinchey went this high to the 49ers, who had a good blocking left tackle there, Joe Staley, coming off a strong season. Everyone thought he was in decline, but man, he kept it going. McGlinchey looks like a right tackle starter right away. We'll see what they do with Trent Brown. I think Trent Brown was pretty decent, but McGlinchey is better than Trent Brown. So I think they're going to look for a trade there for Brown. There was already rumor of that he could potentially go to the Bills or some team that really needs a tackle. So McGlinchey, love this pick, actually, with Jimmy Garoppolo. Staley getting the job done still. They added Weston Richburg as well in free agency. So very good offseason to help Jimmy Garoppolo for the moment and still coming. And 10, Josh Rosen. He slid. The Cardinals catch the falling star. They trade up to get Josh Rosen. So Josh Rosen goes in, has Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon there. So not the greatest competition in terms of veterans. We know what happened to Mike Glennon last year against the rookie in Chicago's Mitchell Trubisky, easily beat him out. In the longer term, Glennon started over him, but we know how disastrous that was and how much upside Trubisky had. So Rosen is very much like the Trubisky of this draft, can move around, accurate, does a lot of things right, has a bit of a clutch factor, a little bit of a swag to him. So Rosen, he's going in with a chip on his shoulder. We'll have to see. The Cardinals passing game, still hard to completely trust, but Larry Fitzgerald is still there. You have David Johnson still there. Chad Williams right now is their best number 2 receiver. We'll see what they do there without John Brown and Ron Brown if they upgrade at receiver. So Cardinals still going to be more about David Johnson this year, but David Johnson with his help in the receiving core, Fitzgerald, if he gets a little bit of help as well, not a bad position for scoring and putting up points for the Cardinals. It's hard to trust who's going to start, especially with that three-headed monster. If Rosen starts, let's just say I like Rosen in there to have some fantasy value over Bradford. We know he's going to get hurt and things are going to go south there, and Glennon can be just really awful. So you're listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. Make sure you're listening to also Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On NFL Network. They've taken you through this journey and in the closing stretch here, breaking down everything they've seen as well from the reality perspective, news notes, and everything you need to know going forward, coming out of the draft. So that's your show, Locked On NFL Draft, here on the Locked On NFL Network. Now let's continue with the middle of the 2018 NFL Draft. We're done through 1 to 10. Now we're going through number 11, Miami Dolphins, Minkah Fitzpatrick. So Fitzpatrick was once a top 5 pick. He's a little bit, because I think teams saw him as a pure safety in the end. He was a corner at some point, but when the evaluation continued, it looked clear that he was a safety type. And the Dolphins look okay at safety on paper with Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald, but Rashad Jones getting a little older, some had some injury issues. On the other side of 30, you got TJ McDonald, serious issue with a DUI, their accusation on off the field. So when you look at that, the Dolphins are going to need a starting safety somewhere soon, and Fitzpatrick is just one of those interchangeable guys. You can put him anywhere, stop the run, play the pass, lead, cover, do anything you want to do, blitz, anything asked of. He's just very versatile, good guy to have in the back of your defense there. But looking at Xavien Howard and Cordarrelle Tankersley, a pretty good secondary developing here with Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins. So not bad to watch here, but still I'm not really scared about this Dolphins defense yet. They still have to get better up front to be a fantasy factor. Speaking of up front, this is a team we're going to pay attention to with their pass rush potentially being a factor in fantasy football. The Buccaneers trade down. They made the deal where the Bills got Josh Allen. They get a couple extra second-round picks. Go for Vita Vea, the defensive tackle from Washington. He is the best defensive tackle in the 2018 class. You look at their offseason. I mentioned this on SportingNews.com. Jason Pierre-Paul, they got on the edge. They added Vinnie Curry on the edge. Another Eagle left Bo Allen for inside. He was projected as a starter. Now, him and Vita Vea are going to be in that rotation, as well as Mitch Unrein, a backup guy that they got from the Bears, is a pretty serviceable player. So when you look at the Bucs, they're loading up front, and McCoy, Gerald McCoy, the stud in the middle, will now get some help from Vita Vea. So a team that can suddenly raise the sack ability. You know they have Brent Grimes and Vernon Hargraves in the back end. The only question, again, with the Tampa defense is having to play in the NFC South with high-powered offenses of Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton. So that's a little bit of concern, but the Bucs are a little bit more on our radar, and Vea can be a factor. Another defensive tackle went to the Redskins, Daron Payne. And Payne's scheme, it doesn't matter what he plays in, he's very disruptive, gets in the backfield very quick, can be nasty. I think he's better than Jonathan Allen in a lot of ways. The Alabama pick that the Redskins made last year, they're both on the same defensive line. Look for a lot of disruption here. Still, Redskins defense, a lot to be learned. Same thing with the Bucs. But right now, it's upside. We'll see where they go with running back later in the draft. Marcus Davenport, this was a bit of a surprise that the Saints made a big, big trade up with the Packers. We thought it was going to be for a quarterback. No, they go for Marcus Davenport. The Saints defense is starting to look pretty darn nasty, even in that division. I mentioned the division firepower, but think about it. Demario Davis is a playmaker. He's a guy that I'm definitely putting on the IDP radar for his year last year with the Jets. He's going to produce a lot for the Saints in the middle. You have Cameron Jordan, sack guy that is going to get help. This defense as a whole added Patrick Robinson to the back field there with Marshon Lattimore and Ken Crawley. So when you look at this defense, a lot of playmakers and depth, and all of a sudden with the three moves they made, Davenport is going to be a situational guy. He's going to help. I think I'm very comparable to what the Eagles have built defensively, a team that can score a lot of points, bounce it out with going after teeing off on people. So the Saints are going to have a lot of relevancy in fantasy football, even with a very difficult schedule. Davenport has just raised the pass rush ability of this team. Number 15, you go to Colton Miller, the offensive tackle from UCLA, going to the Raiders. The Raiders were at number 10 initially, made that trade to the Cardinals. Rosen went to the Cardinals. Here the Raiders get an offensive tackle, and not necessarily the most glaring need, but when you look at it a little deeper, Donald Penn coming off a foot injury. They're not sure when he'll be ready. They got Vidal Alexander at the other tackles, maybe the best option there. When you look at that, Colton Miller, athletic, big athletic guy. They need a left tackle. I think you could start at the right side. They might need him on the left side, but Derek Carr needs some better protection here. He's going to get the ball downfield to Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson, and now Miller is in the mix, and that helps a lot. 16, Tremaine Edmonds went to the Buffalo Bills. They needed someone to play all over the field in their defense. Really don't have any linebackers to trust with Lorenzo Alexander. We know Sean McDermott worked in Carolina. He had Thomas Davis there. So Tremaine Edmonds is more of a Thomas Davis than a Luke Kuechly, but he's a little bit of a hybrid, can cover the way Luke Kuechly does. He's got the size and freight train ability of Kuechly as well. There's no safety hybrid thing with him that you got from Thomas Davis coming out of Georgia. He's a trucking linebacker here, and he's going to be, again, effective. And we know in the past with McDermott, with Davis and Kuechly, they've lit it up with the stat sheet and can help this Bills defense overall. But individually, I think Edmonds can have a pretty good value here. Derwin James, the guy we're going to look for value. There's just a lot of people in the Chargers defense that can be successful, but this is telling me you want to own the Chargers defense. It could be a lot like Jacksonville this year when you look at some of the things that they've added all around for the Chargers. So very dangerous team here. If they get a defensive tackle, some help at inside linebacker, this defense is going to be rolling. And keep in mind, the Broncos are breaking in a new starting quarterback with Case Keenum. The Chiefs are with Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders are turning over their offense. So a lot of transition of these offenses in the AFC West. The Chargers are built to take advantage of it. Now straight down the middle, look at Jahlil Adai. And what he can do, they can make a lot of plays together. Adai and James. Casey Hayward still shutting things down back there. Jason Verrett, if he stays healthy, this is a nasty, nasty secondary. A lot of interceptions and big plays to be had, as well as sacks. We know they have the sacks built in there with Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So defense that I just absolutely love right now. A pick I didn't love at all, really, is 18, the Packers. Jair Alexander, the corner from Louisville. He'd been shooting up the draft boards late, very athletic, very explosive. Also a physical competitor, a bit of cockiness. He kind of reminds me of a long time ago, Fred Smoot, when he went in the draft. But I just don't see a lot of Alexander just being a complete package. I think he's a bit of a gambler. He's going to give up a lot of big plays. I don't know how much better this Packers defense becomes. I was hoping they were going to go after a pass rusher or a cleanup safety. That didn't happen here at all. Instead, they go with the corner, which we know they had Kevin King last year in the draft, and he was okay, but they had to replace Demaryius Randall there, who moved on to the Browns. So all these factors aside, not too exciting in changing the fates of fantasy for the Packers. The next pick was Leighton Vander Esch, and we're going to look for him in IDP as well. Now, we know we have Sean Lee and Jalen Smith, and both of these guys can put up some numbers for sure, but Vander Esch could be just absolutely fantastic playing with these guys, cover guys. He's going to have a shot, some interceptions. He didn't do a lot of covering there necessarily at Boise State, but he can be very good in that capacity. Does a lot of things well, rounds up this defense. Going to get some good tackles in there as well. So very solid tackling group there for Dallas. And remember how much Anthony Hitchens did. You're going to have Leighton Vander Esch step into that role. So the Cowboys, you know, hit and miss a little bit as a team defensively to trust in fantasy. But individually, I really like this pick with Vander Esch, and he can be a factor. The number 20 pick was Frank Ragnow, a center guard out of Arkansas. He's probably going to play left guard for the Lions here with Graham Glasgow. Different spelling and not exactly rhyming, but these guys with TJ Lang as well can really help the interior. They wanted to improve the running game. I think everyone has just assumed, okay, that means we're getting a feature back in the first round. Darius Geis would have been a decent pick here, but they need to upgrade the offensive line for wherever the running back's going to be if they're really committed to running the ball better. And Ragnow is going to help them to that end. And now we have to just wait and see who the running back is going to be, because I know for sure it's not going to be Amir Abdullah in a workhorse role again. It's not going to be Theo Riddick a lot in the third down role. And LeGarrette Blount certainly not the answer. So they need to look for a legitimate running back, and we'll see where they end up with in the end of the draft. Billy Price, more interior line help. The Bengals really needed a center badly. I had them tied to Ragnow in the mock draft, but once Ragnow wasn't there, Billy Price from Ohio State makes a lot of sense. They need to rebuild their offensive line. This is just a small step. And Joe Mixon there with no Jeremy Hill anymore. It's him and Gio Bernard. Joe Mixon's got to stay healthy, but he also needs some improved line play, and Billy Price will help to that end. And the next pick was Rashawn Evans, the linebacker from Alabama, to the Titans. The Titans actually needed this position a lot. Cleanup guy inside, they've been really struggling there. They're pretty good against the run, but you let a lot of things go in the coverage in the middle of the field, and were very vulnerable there last year. They need a guy who's simply going to make a lot of plays, be steady, and we know Alabama linebackers, when you look at C.J. Mosley or Dont'a Hightower, same profile in the middle of the field, make a lot of plays, and Evans is certainly going to be on our radar in IDP as well, because they really missed a guy on the inside to really rack up those tackles and plays on the ball. So a lot of good IDP options here in the draft. Now, we talked a lot about these teams that have landed their future key core players here in the draft, and the best way to keep in touch with all your teams and know exactly what they did in the draft and the more specific team-by-team breakdowns in reality football, you got to check out the Locked On NFL Network team podcast. We've got you covered wherever all the teams we're talking about. We've got shows for them, and check them out. Know what's going on in the offseason. See what how they're being graded out for what they've done and whether they like these picks or not overall and what they feel about them. So it's a great resource for your beat report. Now it's going into overdrive with the NFL draft results. And keep in mind, we also have you covered with the NBA playoff teams in full swing, the NBA draft teams to talk about, and as well as Major League Baseball with that season in full swing. So team by team podcasts, it's your great home here on the Locked On Network. Now let's close with the last third of the 2018 NFL Draft first round, breaking that down. Finally, we get to the Patriots and their first pick that they got from the Rams here. Isaiah Wynn, the offensive lineman from Georgia. A lot of people saw him as a guard, but I think there's some feeling that he could translate into tackle. What I would see, maybe they could maybe work him into the right side, maybe try to move Marcus Cannon to left tackle. They lost Cameron Fleming in free agency to the Cowboys, and we know Nate Solder also left to the Giants. So a little bit of reboot at tackle. Left tackle is their weakness. I could see Cannon flipping over, giving Wynn a shot to start at right tackle instead. They're pretty good in the middle with David Andrews and Joe Thuney and Shaq Mason. So they're fine in the middle. But this draft pick indicates to me that Tom Brady is still alive and well and going to be elite and still playing for the Patriots at least for one more season. So trying to protect him a little bit better makes sense. Brady likes this pick. He'll like the next pick even more. We'll get into that in a second, what they did at number 31. Number 24, DJ Moore goes to the Carolina Panthers. I love this pick because the Panthers have been busy this offseason. Added Torrey Smith, added Jarius Wright, have Curtis Samuel from last year's draft, but they got Devin Funchess as their outside number one. Clear guy that he ended up being the better option than Devin Funchess. Kind of went with a catch radii guy where Funchess emerged there, but they needed like a guy to compliment him in every which way. And here comes DJ Moore. Some of the profile of Steve Smith, he's not going to be Steve Smith right away, but some of the things that Steve Smith does, he does. A quick guy, can break tackles, elude guys in the open field, can take every play to the house, has a tremendous speed, can take over games with volume, and if you just feed him, he's going to make things happen on the field. So DJ Moore, Cam Newton, that's going to be a good fit in playing off of Funchess's ability. They needed one of these guys. Samuel, we'll see. He could be just a little bit of a cog here, but when you throw in Christian McCaffrey in this passing game, and McCaffrey could be affected a little bit because Moore is going to take some catches away, but overall he'll be helped because there'll be another playmaker to draw attention, get him mixed. I think Moore could be a fantasy factor. We'll watch it for sure. It's not a guarantee that Torrey Smith or Jarius Wright are going to be factors in this offense. Even Russell Shepard from last year was a disappointment, so there could be some more change up here, and I think what we want to watch out for is more climbing up to see where he is in relation to Devin Funchess and Greg Olsen, who got an extension, by the way, from the Panthers in this passing game pecking order. Speaking of tight ends, and the Panthers were tied to Hayden Hurst of South Carolina a lot, just down the street from them, but when you look at Hayden Hurst, he's 25, with Olsen there, it was not making sense. So the Ravens instead go with Hurst, who does turn 25 in August. They've had a mess at tight end. They had the Dennis Pitta mess with the retirement. Crockett Gilmore looked like it, but he had an injury and had to retire. Then you had Max Williams and Nick Boyle. And then they had to plug in Benjamin Watson to fill a hole. So it was a mess for the Ravens at tight end. But finally, they go for an answer, well-rounded guy, to Ozzie Newsome. They're about to ride off into the sunset as their longtime general manager. Of course, he's going to draft a tight end, being one of the greatest tight ends of all time. During his playing days in Alabama and then in the NFL with the Browns. So he's trying to find a guy like himself to leave the Ravens offense on a good note here. So Greg Roman, he likes to use the tight end a lot. A little bit of Vernon Davis and Hayden Hurst. Not maybe as athletic, but just as well-rounded there coming in to the NFL. So this is a sneaky indication of how the Ravens are changing their offense, and so is the number 32 pick, which we will get into that in a bit, the move that they made to get one more pick in the first round. Number 26, we have a lot of offense to talk about this first round, which is great for fantasy football. Calvin Ridley goes to the Atlanta Falcons, and we thought Ridley could go to the Ravens, but I think they're happy there with Michael Crabtree and John Brown and the receiving core for the most part. So the Falcons, however, were not happy with just Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Sanu had to play outside a little too much. They really missed having an outside complimentary receiver to Julio Jones. They go back to Bama. So Sanu now goes in the slot. Calvin Ridley works the outside, makes a lot of those tough catches, route running. Another option to take pressure off Julio Jones and maybe get some Julio Jones free looks in the red zone. And Ridley could be a guy that they could look a little bit more to the red zone as Jones draws that all that attention. So great situation for Ridley, ending with Matt Ryan. And we'll see where that goes with the fantasy upside. But he certainly has it there playing off Jones. Sanu obviously takes a bit of a hit with his value with a guy like Ridley coming in. But Ridley, Sanu, we'll see if that pecking order can change behind Jones in terms of the volume they'll see. The next pick was the shocker of shockers. The Seahawks moved down to the draft, like with the Packers and through the Saints and all that stuff. They end up with a running back, Rashad Penny. Now, reality-wise, people just drilled them for this pick because Penny was rated on most boards as a third-round pick at best, but a highly productive player out of San Diego State. The best running back there since Marshall Faulk. We're not going to say he's Marshall Faulk, but when you look at where he's drafted for fantasy purposes, we know they had Mike Davis and Chris Carson and Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy. They've tried to crowd out all these dudes to be the man, but Rashad Penny's a big back. He can do a lot of things on the field. He can stay out there for three downs. You do have a running quarterback in Russell Wilson that can facilitate things for the running back. So in fantasy, Rashad Penny is nice because you know finally this team that's gone with an ugly committee all the way down to CJ Procise in the passing game now might just clear that all up, invest in a first round pick on this guy. They want to see what he can do as a complete player. So he definitely is a very talented back. And don't get me wrong, I don't think the back is bad. I think in reality, the Seahawks may suffer in other areas where they needed help on defense, but fantasy purposes, we don't care. We want an offensive playmaker in a good position. And the Seahawks, yeah, they lost Jimmy Graham, they lost Paul Richardson, but they still have Doug Baldwin. They still have Wilson running around. They're going to probably find a tight end, wide receiver late in this draft, so I'm excited to see what they do there. But offensively, for our purposes, it saves Seattle and has a legitimate answer at running back that we're going to trust, and Penny is definitely going to be highly on our radar in fantasy as it develops in the offseason. The number 28 pick was Terrell Edmonds. Yes, another Edmonds, another T. Edmonds from Virginia Tech on the back seven. This time it's a safety. I didn't really love this pick for the Steelers. I thought they might go for future considerations there with Lamar Jackson or get an inside linebacker to help replace Ryan Shazier, who actually made this pick, came out on the podium in a dramatic moment there. But Terrell Edmonds, again, IDP for the Bills are going to be effective. I think they probably would have liked to have his brother fall to them or Rashawn Evans or Leighton Vander Esch. None of that happened. Instead, they reach a little bit for safety. A lot of people didn't have him this high. Justin Reed of Stanford would have been maybe the guy that a lot of people looked at going this high, but don't love it for fantasy purposes. Don't really love it for reality purposes either, but it doesn't really do anything to change the fortunes of the Steelers either way, offensively or defensively. We know that. Taven Bryan went to the Jaguars, and if you had any doubts about how high you should take the Jaguars defense after what they did last year, the Jaguars defense, like I said, in a lot of instances I talked about a lot, they produce like an RB2 or a wide receiver 2 in a lot of league formats with how much they scored, had his chance to score a defensive touchdown every week, rack up sacks, rack up turnovers. They had Taven Bryan of Florida to their defensive line that already has Yannick Ngakoue, Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, Marcel Darius. Are you kidding me? So the Jaguars are loaded. Saxonville, it's not just a nickname, folks. It's a theme here, and it's here to stay. And I love this pick just because you're loading up on a strength and knowing we're going to be as nasty as we want to be there. And so look for them to also look for a nickelback at some point. They lost Aaron Colvin. Could use that inside cover guy that's better. So they didn't feel like it was the time to pull the trigger on the guy now, but I think later in this draft definitely is going to happen for the Jaguars. So Jaguars defense, again, the biggest fantasy force not on offense in 2018 still. The Vikings went defense as well. Mike Hughes, and the Vikings do have a very good fantasy defense. They added Sheldon Richardson, make that front really deep. Now they were struggling a little bit. Mackenzie Alexander was their slot guy. Didn't work out as well. Trey Waynes is on the rise, good, because he was getting burned. But now it's Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes. Actually, Waynes outplayed Rhodes in a lot of situations last year where they need a guy in the slot. Mike Hughes does the job there for the Vikings. I don't love the pick in terms of they could still use a little bit more offensive help, maybe on the line, to feel really good about Kirk Cousins going forward. But team with a lot, not with many glaring needs here, so they could go for a little bit of depth, and that's the luxury of being a good, consistent team. If you've drafted well, as they have with Rick Spielman, with Mike Zimmer input, that they're in a situation where they don't have to be too luxurious, and there we go. So we'll end with the last two picks being fun second first-round picks for two teams and offensive-minded. So we love this from fantasy football perspective. The Patriots go with Sonny Michel from Georgia. Now, this was a bit of a shock because Michel, again, went ahead of Darius Geis like Rashad Penny. And Michel also went after Penny, which is a surprise. But you look at this, the Alvin Kamara comparisons were there from the get-go. He was showcased in the championship game. A lot of championship game love, if you look at this. The Patriots tapped into it twice with the runners up there, the Bulldogs, with Isaiah Wynn earlier, Sonny Michel. We saw Roquan Smith go earlier to the Bears. So a lot of love for the runners-up as well as Bama when we've seen with Fitzpatrick and Payne and Ridley and all those main guys for the national champions. And the runner-up, you saw what Michel did at the Rose Bowl. He nearly took it over. Great, great player there. Dynamic. You look at Rex Burkhead, James White, Jeremy Hill, Mike Gillisley. Burkhead is okay, James White, but they're interchangeable. They're not explosive. They just do their jobs well. They needed Deion Lewis, and here comes their Deion Lewis in overdrive here with Michel, younger version, replace him. So both these picks, when you look at Wynn and Michel from the same offense, is an indication here. The Patriots are still very much thinking that Tom Brady has a lot left in the tank, that he's still going to be around for a while here to make these type of picks that are luxury picks. And in essence, one is a little bit more a necessity with Wynn, but more of a little bit of development there. But in terms of adding a back like this, rather than drafting a quarterback in the future or drafting for defense, that they very much think Tom Brady's in the plans and want to take care of him and give him another explosive cog. And here comes Michelle, who watch out for in this backfield. I think it'll still be a committee approach, but they'll carve out a key role for Michelle the way that Deion Lewis, remember how he exploded last year. So don't sleep on anything with the Patriots backfield. It's always unpredictable. Jobs can change. Michelle could have a small role. He could have a major role, but I would lean more on the major if they used a first round pick on it. And our final pick in the first round was Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville, going to the Ravens. And I mentioned I had fun with this a little bit, that Johnny Unitas was also from Louisville when he was drafted by the Baltimore Colts, or went to the Baltimore Colts. You look at this state of offense and passing games in the NFL, how we've come full circle, where Lamar Jackson, still, there are a lot of skeptics, but still, he went in the first round. So the athleticism of this in past years might have just not been taken at all. So that's an improvement. It's not the greatest right now, but Jackson's such a dynamic player. To me, the upside, after Baker Mayfield way back in number one where we started this thing, he's had the most. I like the it factor. I like the buzz. I like the lifting the team. I like putting your team on your back, making a ton of plays with your arm and your legs. That's exactly what Jackson did. Mayfield, again, some people like the accuracy a little bit more, mechanics with Mayfield versus Jackson. I can see that. But Jackson, 32, landed a good spot. Joe Flacco, we'll say the job is now tenuous hold there for Flacco going forward with Jackson. The mix, Jackson's going to need time to develop, and that's going to buy Flacco some time to maybe be motivated and say, I better put my act together because Greg Roman's in here with his scheme. We've seen the mobile puck quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, both have some very good success under Greg Roman. And then you look at Flacco, and he's been treated to a whole bunch of guys in there, Marty Morningweg and Mark Trestman and Gary Kubiak, people that they brought in over and over again to try to help Flacco. Maybe the issue is that Flacco, we've seen his ceiling, his upside is there. He's a streaky quarterback. Had one good run in the Super Bowl there, but that's now looking at 6 years ago. So it's been a long time since Joe Flacco has delivered at that level. And this offense has changed. They have Crabtree in there as a receiver, John Brown. So some good supporting cast members, again, shifting as the Ravens start to remix their offense. Hayden Hurst in there. They had Alex Collins out of the backfield. That was a big factor last year as well. So all kinds of things changing for the Ravens offense. So I don't think Flacco is necessarily immune. So good place to develop, good coaching staff, good situation where he's not rushed. We know they turned Tyrod Taylor into something special before he worked with Roman there in Buffalo. So it's a good spot for Jackson. We just know it's not going to have any fantasy impact for us in 18, probably, but you never know. I think Flacco, finally, if he struggles and doesn't produce and they have some turnovers and slow production, there's an open door for Jackson at some point in 2018. So there you have it, an expanded podcast breaking down the first round of the 2018 NFL Draft. It's just great to talk about an actual first round that it wasn't mock. It was fun to project and speculate and all that, but to have picks to finally go with each team was outstanding. So thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll come back in our next show. I'll have the full rankings there for rookies. We'll go through the whole list there once we know all the rookies are drafted and some undrafted guys as well that we'll look at come the end of the NFL draft. So that's what you need to know about the first round for fantasy football. Once again, this has been Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.